Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 285, Promise 7. There's only one part. Today is Good Friday, March 29th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled Promise 7. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? That's the Moffat translation, and that's Psalm 11 and 3. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? Sunday we ministered on, do you know the value? We got into, you do you know the value of the promises? 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are we given to us exceeding and great and precious promises? And we said that to understand grace, you must dive headlong into it. Don't be afraid. And we also said that as deep as you may dive, you can still go deeper in grace. There is no bottom to it. It doesn't bottom out. You're not going to break your neck. Because we said it is unfathomable. And also, to really experience the grace power, you must fully receive full pardon, with no division of thinking, no double-hearted, no double-mindedness. And you must receive full love, knowing that it'll never change. It's always the same. And also, we mentioned, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will just look stupid. The things that you used to love to do, you'll hate, and things that you used to hate to do, you'll love. They will look obnoxious. Also, we said that we can be judges of good. We're so good at judging evil in others. And in that process of judging evil, we become experts at hunting out all the bad, See, when we really feel good about ourselves, we can judge in the right spirit. When you really feel good about what you're doing. Now, today in the heat of the day, it would have been easy to get into the wrong spirit. That happened to anybody today? And then we judge from a sort of a warped point of view. Oh, I wish I was in the Bahamas. I wish I was in Nome, Alaska. I wish I was whatever. Anyway, we went on and we also said we must live our lives one day at a time. How else can you live it anyway? And how do you live that life? You live that life standing on a promise. Let us also then remember there is the time of the promise. Why don't you close that door back there? Outside. The Bible says the time of the promise drew nigh. Now, I don't know of anywhere where God's promises are said to come swiftly. But the sure mercies of David. In other words, swift to God is another thing. No, the Lord's procedure is never hurried up. You may even be heard crying out, "Oh Lord, how long?" The Bible says the Lord is not slow, but he does have a timetable. In fact, the timetable of the coming of the Antichrist is very close. The scene is being set, and we are looking for a Savior. In our case, we are looking for the Savior. There's a time of woes. There's a time of suffering. But I thought perhaps the time of the promise has not yet come because our trial has not yet been fulfilled in its full design. To what? To change you, to help change others. Where we fit in God's plan, we don't know. We fully don't know. Well, we see darkly, we vaguely get the picture. But we don't know what will be fulfilled by us being faithful. We don't know as of yet, but we will know in the end. So the Bible says, just be faithful. See, the chastening must answer its purpose or it cannot be brought to an end. It has to answer its purpose. So there's always going to be an answering of it after the red bottom. Now, do you know why you got this? It's like with your parents. Bible says that another way, gold must stay in the fire till it's perfected. And so God's promises are dated. His timing is perfect. And so if all things, I believe, could be known to us as they are known to God, we would bless him with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls for keeping us under the smarting rod and not sparing us because of our crying. See, if we could know the end as well as the beginning, we should praise the Lord for closed doors and frowning looks and unanswered prayers. And I can just hear someone saying on there, "How negative, God always answers prayers." Well, then why are you still so miserable? Is there something you have to do first? Is there some change that should come into your life? Is there something you haven't obeyed the Lord on? You haven't stood on the promises, having done all stand? Is there something there? And if we knew the answer was no, because that no closed the door, meant fulfilling God's greater purpose, times we walk up to the door and it's closed and our lip hangs out. And, well, hey, I thought I was going in the right directions, and it seems like all the doors are closed. Well, there's a greater thing going to happen down the line. Well, if that happens, it says rejoice and be exceedingly glad when these things happen. Then more and more we should pray as the end comes closer and closer and closer. Nevertheless, pray like this, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Well, it's a little hard to pray that when it seems like everything is not coming up roses. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When you're sinking in quicksand. And so tonight, I believe we will examine, if you will, the facing the worst. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? Psalm 11 and 3. Doesn't that sound like a man with his back against the wall? He is face to face and eyeball to eyeball with grim tragedy. And I think of these hearings, and I think of many men of God. See, it is not confined to one individual or to one group. It is nationwide. What we're seeing right now is nationwide. We don't confine it. We don't keep it in the family. We don't keep it in the confines of the government. We put it right on TV. And so the whole world is threatened by complete collapse. Doesn't that sound like right now? The pillars of the state are falling. Doesn't it sound like right now? Our country, as well as other countries, are perplexed. Doesn't it make you kind of want to wonder? It's making people nervous, and it's making people fearful and anxious. I see now where the hospitals are planning on cutting out. Well, they're going to cut out cooks, and they're going to cut out the people that clean, and they're going to cut out this one and that one, and they're going to keep cut. The state is falling, and so our indecisions are open accusations. Our lack of unity is, I think, a very sick flabbiness. The state is falling, and to add to all this, the psalmist is being tortured by a bullying foe. That foe is taunting him by reminding him of his completeness of collapse. Not only you're going to fall, you're going to fall all the way down. You ever been around someone that is a doomsday prophet? I should say profiteer. Have you? Now I wonder how many right now are doomsday prophets. God has called me to a greater work. And so I said the foe is taunting him by reminding him of the completeness of utter collapse and of his own helplessness to cope with a hopeless situation. When you get involved in something, then Satan comes in and says, well, this is hopeless. You can't make it. You can't go on. Nobody likes you. You might as well go out and eat mud. Who likes you? Does anybody like you? So he starts to bend on your mind, and pretty soon you're very distrustful of everybody. That's where we're coming to right now. Maybe he even says, get out while you can. I've heard that a lot. Probably he urges his proud tempter. Admit defeat. Turncoat, run. The disaster is too far gone for you to be able to do anything about it. I remember some years back, it was on New Year's Eve. And everybody was at a New Year's Eve party here. And everybody was in sort of a happy silence because they just felt the whole thing was going to crash. The papers had been handed to me that the building was going to leave our hands and go back to the former owners. And you know, somewhere down deep inside, the Spirit of the Lord raises you up. When the pillars are falling down, He gives you that Samson strength. And I said, I am not leaving here. I am going to stay. And even the enemies and the tempters got caught up in the excitement of it. Started clapping, and you could see them stop. Well, what am I clapping about? I want this dog to go down so I can vanish into suburbia. See, but I believe the devil is always saying, what can you do towards propping up a falling state? And in our case, the state of affairs. But I believe this brave fighter refuses to run. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Instead, he probably turns around and says something like this, well, bug off. How dare you reminding me with the greatness of the tragedy? Boy, this is not only tragic, this is the tragedy of tragedies. What are you ever going to do? Wow. See, there is a higher, wider cause to consider here. It's called obeying the Lord. Just like you see in the world now with the government men. There's something called friendship. There's something called dedication. There's something called dying for a friend. Now, maybe you don't call a person a friend, but maybe they do, and that's their business. We have something in common with Oliver North because that's where we're at. Oliver North, right down here. Think this thing, we should consider it parallels quite a bit what's been going on down here. Now I would say to Satan, how dare you to try to make me worry over my own skin? I would dare then to believe God. You can't believe anybody else. Why not? Why not put your trust in the Lord? Is there someone else that you can put your trust in? No, there isn't. Don't even put your trust in yourself. In the Lord, I put my trust. And so therefore, my course is not to be decided on the basis of my own personal comfort. Well, I don't know. I mean, I can see being involved, but do you have to be so involved? How about just opening up for 2 hours a day? How about forgetting about the run up there on Saturday or over there on Wednesday or in St. Paul? How about... You know, I mean, it's hard. Hey. Why is it we don't do that in business if we're any kind of a businessman at all? No, I don't believe it is decided by the noisy majority. Decisions are made in the quietness of your own bed, preacher. While you're laying there, you have to make... And remember, there is a majority watching you. Behold, there is a cloud of witnesses, billions, watching you. Not only a cloud of witnesses, but down here, people are watching. They're watching whether you're going to stand and believe, or if you just want to go off someplace and get comfortable. It's your choice. But there's always that noisy majority. No, it is to be decided by the will of God. What is God's will in your life, preacher? How dare you to try and make me take any other course of action? And I almost hear the accused in these hearings saying, repeat your questions over and over and over again. My God will deliver me. I really feel that because I have that feeling in my own ministry. You hearing this? And so I believe the situation that this psalmist faced in the long ago sounds so much like the one you and I face today. In fact, I believe earnest men in every generation have to face similar situations. This is true because every day brings some threatened disaster. Everything we build tends to fall into ruins, like man himself. They rot down even as the things that they build. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Friends, I believe we will witness this over and over and over in all of our lifetimes. A building up and a tearing down. Ecclesiastes puts it, there is a time for it. People falling apart. And I believe in this very anxious age, men will fail. It says their hearts will fail. They'll fall apart, it's saying. Organizations will fall apart. Institutions will fall apart. Churches will fall apart. Families will fall apart. See, because it's the decay of the individual that lies back of the ruin of the organizations and the institutions and the families and the marriages and the whole works. Our world is in decay. And so I believe the fall of a nation is a result of the collapse of the citizens of that nation. And that's why I said I'm so glad to see the American public stand on their hind legs, if you will, and say enough. Enough is enough. We don't want to hear anymore, and let's put Superman or something else on. Let's go on with the business at hand. Stop acting so stupid. Besides, you sitting there in your girdles, it's mighty uncomfortable for all you chaps. And oh, I thought how people need the promise of eternal life. Then everything wouldn't look so gloomy and look so bad. No, I thought how they need the full grace message to change with. I said, son, do you know the legalist is always after the person that receives full grace and says, are you sure you're saved? I'm not for certain that the legalist is saved. Are you a legalist? Why are you so doubting of everybody else? Only what's in your heart. You judge only the way. When you judge the others, you judge yourself. Why? That's in your heart. Unbelief. Are you sure that you're safe by your actions? Can you in any way warrant saying, I'm born again? By your frivolous teachings, on the other hand, the prosperity and hyper sniper faith and the profiteers and whatever. See, it leaves people with nothing to stand on. No blessed assurance, no promises, no hope, no love, no faith. And so I believe our world is on a disaster course. Out of control. And I believe the church is falling apart through arguments. There's going to be a whole lot of unlearning before that we learn. But now I believe is the time to tell the devil to get lost. But you know, because man tends to fall into ruins, everything he builds tends to fall with him. And I think, like I said before, this kind of disaster threatens every generation. But I think, Christians, it is at its very worst now. People, I said, are falling apart. Some of us mourn loved ones that have disappointed us and broken our hearts. Well, what can we do? I hear someone on the radio say. Stand. Say that word. Stand. Fight back. Say that word. Fight back. And some of us, you listening, are confronted by lonely ruin where there was once a home. I can speak with authority on a lot of this. An unction. But greater yet, we are feeling the failure of our churches of the day. And we have felt more keenly still the failure of the nations. We are now, I believe, compelled to look upon the world gone mad. We are in a mad world. Turn the TV on and four or five cars have had bombs put up their tailpipes or however they do it. And they're getting into buses and shooting people, spraying bullets all over. It is a world gone mad. And then they brag, we take credit for it, we did it. But we're compelled to look upon that world. What are we going to do about it? The world is, the Bible says, crying out, peace, peace. Will they have it? No, there will be no peace. Literally, there will be no peace on this earth, starting right now, other than you have that peace that passes all understanding within you. There will be no peace in this world until the coming of the Lord. And I doubt very much that any other generation of history has had this to witness. Such a hell. Such degradation. Vietnam and drugs. Booze and porno and AIDS. The world gone mad. Therefore, I think the question comes with compelling urgency. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? What can I do in this mess, David said. What can he do? What can we do? I think that is a question that we must decide for ourselves, one-on-one with the Lord. Decide it. Decide it tonight when you go home. Decide it right now. You're listening on the radio. Decide it. What am I going to do about this miserable situation? See, we can help the disaster succeed. I believe as black as the night is, we can make it a little blacker. However, sure seems the final collapse of civilization, and it's coming. We can make that collapse a bit surer. There is an evil and there is a damnable thing that people do, and that's doing nothing. We can be part of the destructive forces that threaten our nation and the world. we can then be part of the destructing disease that is preying upon the individual. We can join forces with the devil. Are you hearing this? We can join the majority. We can be influenced by the crowd. We can hold back the promises of God. And we can stand at the wailing wall and cry, "What's the use?" It's too late to change things. We can cry that out. We can enter into criticism of the individual or the group and help it fall apart. Because it's a popular thing to do, don't you see? And then there are the quitters. When things get bad in the family and with friends and with the Lord. You mean things get bad with the Lord? There's an answer in it, but there's things that happen. When things get bad in a job, and there's a lot of people fearful for their jobs right now. When things get bad in the church, they wash their hands of the whole miserable affair and they leave. Or we can decide by the Holy Ghost to live constructively and be part of the remedy rather than the collapse. However bad the situation, we can make it better. With collapse all around us, with decay all around us, will we cry and complain? Will it do any good? Will we wailing wall it? Will we run and hide? I wonder how many take the unpopular choice to do right and get on God's side. Not popular to be on God's side, especially when it has to cost you your life. Well, someone's saying on the radio, what's the encouragement? What's in it for me? For us to take this course of action? Well, one thing, radio audience, I can promise you, it is not the easiest way to live. But it sure is. It sure beats being a coward. I mean, if you make your mind up to live constructively, if you are determined to be the salt of the earth, you're determined to be that. To prevent evil, you're determined in your heart. To help people, and you determine, I will help people, no matter who. Then I believe we should say, be prepared to pay the price. Such a course of action is costly. It cost Jesus Christ his life. I, some time back, saw a story of two carpenters, and this guy saw his friend falling from the sixth or seventh floor. He tried to catch him. It broke both of his arms, but it also broke the friend's fall. It injured his spine, and he became an invalid. Fighting the good fight in the ranks of the minority. Sometimes there's a price involved. There's a cost involved. You'll go down in defeat over and over and over and over again. I believe the choicest souls that God has given the world have gone out in what seemed, I said, what seemed like utter defeat. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were told to bow at the gong. They said, no, we will not bow. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will. We aren't going to bow down. And then the speaker goes dead, goes cold. Sometimes God allows some to die for their convictions. Anyway, he pulls himself together and adds, our God is able to deliver us, and he will, going on. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, what is he saying? We may have to die. Die trying. Ours may seem like a lost cause a lot of times. See, we can afford to fail, but we cannot afford to be untrue. That is the crux. We can afford to fail in this world, but we cannot afford to be untrue to what God has given us to do. Oh, come on, I hear someone saying, I'm no dummy. Someone else says, what is the good of taking such a stand? We ought to do it because we are needed. The more desperate the situation, the more we are needed. Right now, we're facing a very desperate situation. Take a look at the situation right now here in Minneapolis. Now is not the time to slow down, it's the time to speed up. It's going to get a whole lot worse, and I don't care if you call this negative. I don't care if you call it negative at all. It just makes no never mind to me. Just call it whatever you want to. I'm just telling you like it is. You positive preaching. Possibility, whatever you call it. No, we ought to stand because we are needed. The more desperate the situation, the more we are needed, the more our loved ones need us, the more the north side needs us. The more now we're encompassing a lot of the area all the way around here. I mean, you know, I'm talking about a 100-mile radius and further than that. The more our friends need us, and the more our church needs us. The more our Lord needs us. Well, the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. Our world right now needs us. Next, we ought to take this course because it's right. Why are you doing that? Because it's right to do that. I think if I was in those hearings, I would have to sing a few songs at least. Right is right and wrong is wrong. That's the way the story goes. Do you understand that? That right is right and wrong is wrong? Now, I know this is a very old-fashioned idea, but I believe it's a very good one, to die for a friend. We have a lot of moral confusion today. And some have found it hard to distinguish between right and wrong. But I believe to do this, we can all agree on one thing here. Whatever is humanly helpful is right. Whatever is humanly hurtful is wrong. If it hurts somebody, don't do it. No negative life lived can be a help. And people who tear down can be of no service. It doesn't take a whole lot of brains to destroy something. Any slanderer can do that. Any nerd can do that. A monkey with a match can destroy more than 1,000 men that have built for a year. And so I say we ought to live constructively because it's right. Oh, corny, you say. No, you won't win every battle. And so just play to the very best of your ability. When life's game is over, and it will be over soon enough, Jesus will say, well done, you have been faithful. Not well done, you have been victorious. Victorious. The victory is the Lord's. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done. Defender of right. Oh, victorious, hairy-armed gladiator for God? No. Well done, faithful servant. And so I believe next, being dedicated and preaching grace brings us into a fine fellowship with the choicest men and women. And we get into the grace message and fully understand. And we, like the psalmist, fight to do right. It's a fight. It's an uphill fight a lot of times. To the man who dedicates his whole life to that great purpose, God can give himself. To the faithful, God can give himself. If anyone, the Bible says, oh, listen to it very carefully. If anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know. And so we begin to know because we know because we know. And so I'm saying this, but it also is a lonesome highway. You will not be able to go over to the majority thinking, the popular view, the great movements. All great movements, folks, have very small beginnings. Very small. And so I believe the Christian enterprise has seemed doomed to defeat many times. Hasn't it? But never, I believe, has the outlook been so black as it was at the very beginning. And at the beginning, you'll remember, it was one man crying out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In fact, by that desperate seeming defeat, Jesus Christ remade the world. In fact, it is impossible for such a life to fail. It's so dedicated. Its seeming defeat is in reality a superb victory. If you're faithful, in other words, and it seems like you've been defeated over and over and over again, but you're still faithful to go on, really, in reality, it's a superb victory. It is such, I believe, seed corn that brings to harvest a better world. Just a little seed, someone that'll die for a cause of Christ. What other cause is there? That seed becomes a hybrid. Not only that, but the Lord gives us credit not only for victories won, but we get credit for those we would have won if we had the chance. David longed to build the temple. He wanted to build that temple for the Lord, but he failed. God said, whereas it was in thine heart to rebuild, to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. I'm going to give you credit for it. Let me close with this scripture. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, learn how to face the worst, standing on a promise. God is faithful, therefore you be faithful. I do so hope that these messages have done some good. Did they come out of the fire? God knows they really have. They're just messages that come straight out of trial and error and seeming defeat. And yet, we're still here. Why? Because we stand on the promise. If anyone in the government were to get these tapes, I'd say, well, just stand on the promise. Call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble. He'll answer you.
There you have it. That was episode 285, Promise 7. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1. usually, and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed any of Pastor Paul's podcasts, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Next Friday's message, we're continuing Promise 8. Have a great week and a happy Easter. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Maybe living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton. Might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey. Might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor. Sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.